The Columbia Workshop. Today's production of the Columbia Workshop brings you Opus for Lute and a Lyre by William Iverson. Mr. Iverson is a young man from Brooklyn, New York, who makes his workshop debut with today's broadcast. The two leading roles will be played by Parker Fenley and Kingsley Colton. The original music is by Alexander Semler, the director, Nyla Mack. The Columbia Workshop production of Opus for Lute and a Lyre.
Major?
Yep. Sun's up now. Fog's blowing away, too. Good cold, northeast wind. Best day in the world for ducks. What are you laughing at, young Lute?
What you just said. What you just said about this being a nice day for ducks. Hey, I don't see any cove around here.
No. If you could see it, wouldn't be much of a blind, would it?
Suppose not.
Set right in them rushes there. Just a couple more pulls.
There it is. That's the cove over there to the left, ain't it?
Yeah, that's it, all right. Only it ain't to the left when you're in a boat. It's a port.
Oh, I forgot.
Just might as well pull her in.
Gee, that place is hid good. Those ducks are going to have a hard time seeing us, all right.
Here we are. All right, now fasten the line around that old willow branch sticking up out of the water, will you, Lute?
Oh, sure. Just a minute. There you are.
That's it. Now we're all set to do a little plain and fancy duck hunting. Oh, where the Sam Hill did I put them shells? Oh, here they are. Yeah. Are you sure you told your ma you was coming with me?
Yeah, I told her. Old MacDonald had a farm.
Hush up, Lute. Can't do no singing now.
Why? Will the ducks hear me?
Of course they'll hear you.
What'll they hear me with?
Well, with their ears.
Ducks got ears?
Sure they got ears.
I never seen no duck with ears.
Well, just because you ain't seen them don't mean they ain't got them. Keep them under their feathers.
They do?
Yeah.
Gee, ducks got ears. What happened after that?
Happened after what?
After what you was telling me before. About the bears and you and the Canadian Rockies.
What bears?
What?
Oh, yeah, them bears. Well, as I was telling you, there I was alone in the Canadian Rockies with them three bears and just one load of shot in my double-barrel gun.
You were telling me before there was two bears.
Well, there was two bears. Two bears coming at me. Third was the little one I was holding in my arms when the old man and old lady showed up.
Why was you holding the little bear?
I was feeding it a can of condensed milk I had in my pack. Because when I found the poor thing, it looked hungry.
Mm. And then its old man and old lady come along, huh?
Yeah. One of them come up on the right of me, and the other one come up on the left of me. So I set down the cub. I tried to get him to go to his parents. Fool thing wouldn't budge an inch, because he was having too good a time with that can of milk, you know.
Just sat there drinking, huh?
Yeah, just sat there drinking. All the time, his folks kept coming closer and closer, you know.
Yeah.
All red-eyed and furious, thinking that I was going to steal the silly old cub. Well, sure, I knew right then and there I had to do something. Pretty gosh awful quick, too.
Sure.
Yep, and I knew blamed well if I turned to shoot the one on my right, why, the one on my left, he'd pounce on me.
Mm-hmm.
And versy versy. And all the time they kept edging in close to me, you know, in the cub.
Oh, gosh. What did you do then?
Well, I just went to work and I, bent one barrel of my gun so as it pointed at the old man. And the other barrel shows it pointed at the old lady. And without so much as a how do you do, I fired at them both at once.
Gee. Did you kill them?
Dead on so many doornails.
Gee.
Yep. Hear that?
Ducks.
Ducks sitting back there in the marsh. Funny we ain't seen any yet.
What became of the cub?
Cub. Oh, yes. Oh, I kept him for a while. He got to be quite a pet. But finally, he got too big to be dragging around the country after me, so I sold him to a man in Kansas City, Missouri, for $24.
What did he do with him?
He was a milkman, if I remember correct. Used the bear to pull his wagon for him.
Oh, boy, just imagine an old bear pulling a milk wagon.
Cut that out, Luch. You're rocking the board here. Oh. Rumpus like that would scare away a herd of elephants.
Is that the gun?
Ain't a fishbowl.
I mean, is that the gun you used to kill the bears?
You asking me if this is the gun that I used to kill them bears? Loot, it wasn't no other. No other gun in the whole world but this one. My name ain't Tremont Snickleby.
It's an old gun, all right. You never seen no old gun like that before.
Yes, old gun, all right. And a famous one to boot.
Famous? What's it famous for?
Well, sir, you ever heard of the shot heard round the world?
Oh, sure I did. I read all about it in my history book. I learned all about that stuff.
Well, son, you're having the rare privilege of looking at the gun that done the shooting.
That gun?
Yes, sirree, Bob. Oh. And was fired by my Snickleby ancestor that fought with the embattled farmers at Lexington.
Jinkies. Holy jinkies all around the world. Must be the loudest shooting gun ever was built.
Well, no, it ain't that it actually made such a loud noise.
No?
No, what they meant by that was that the shot it made was so important. That shot was the one that started off the American Revolution, you know. Got the whole business started with a bang, you might say.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah, I see now. Oh, got it started with a bang. Oh, boy.
Bang.
You know, you think a gun like that would be hanging someplace special. Like in a museum or Grant's tomb or someplace like that.
Special. Yeah. Well, of course, it was hanging someplace special. Yep, it hung someplace for a good many years before I got it restored to the Snicklebys after my ancestor gave it away.
No.
Yep, pretty interesting how it happened, too. How he come to give it away.
Yeah?
Yeah, you see, it was right after the Revolution, if I remember correct. And my ancestor, he'd gone back to his blacksmithing business up around Lexington or Concord, whichever that was. Seem busy?
Busy?
Mister, I'll tell you something. For one whole year before the Revolution started, I had a standing order to beat every single plowshare in the state of Massachusetts into swords.
You did, huh?
Yeah. And now the war's over, I got a standing order to beat them all back into plowshares. So, mister, don't hold me up.
Here. Wait a minute there, blacksmith. I want to ask you something. You by any chance called Snickleby?
What'd you say?
I said, you by any chance called by the name of Snickleby?
That's me, yep.
Well, then, mister, I got business with you. Just let me get down off my horse here. Whoa, stand still there, you old fool. Maybe I better introduce myself. I'm George Washington.
Yeah, George Washington. Well, cut off my wind and call me Wheezy if it ain't. Well, General, I tell you, I never recognized you sitting up there on that horse.
You didn't, huh?
No, sir, not for a second. And after me having seen you before, too.
See, we met someplace before, you say?
We sure did. Remember the day you took it into your head to fling a dollar across the Potomac?
Yeah.
Remember how you only had a $5 bill on you?
Yeah.
I was the fellow that gave you a change.
Why, sure, I remember now. Well, in that case, I guess you can just call me George.
In that case, you can call me anytime. Well, what's eating you, George?
Well, I'll tell you, Tremont. It's sort of like this. For the past couple of months, I've been galumping all over these United States looking for the feller as fired this here now shot here around the world.
Oh, yeah, that.
Yeah. Many's the time I thought I had my man for sure, only to have the whole thing turn out to be a fizzle. Now, folks around here have been telling me that you're the man that I'm looking for, so I ask you to tell me straight. Is you or ain't you?
I'm the fellow, Georgie. So help me, I cannot tell a lie.
Jeepers and jumpers, Snick, say.
call me Snicky.
All right, Snicky. You got no idea how happy I am that I don't have to do no more running around looking for you, Snicky. Well, congratulations.
Yeah, what for?
What for? On account of you're a hero, that's what for. I'm going to see to it personally that you get some really big doings done in your honor.
Oh, well, that's mighty nice of you, George. That's mighty nice indeed, but I got no mind for this here glamour business, not at all. You know, I just want to be left alone so as I can get all this blacksmithing that I'm bound to do done.
Yeah, well, now that's a mighty fine spirit, Snicky. Mighty fine spirit. Somehow or other, I sort of knew that's the way you'd feel about it. But I just felt it my duty to look you up anyhow and see if I couldn't knock out a old statute of you or something.
Oh, no. Thanks just the same, though, George.
Well, like your picture on a stamp, maybe?
Ones or twos?
Well, shucks, Nick. I'm afraid all we got open now is the 2-cent postage dues.
Well, I don't know.
I tell you, I may be able to get you something better later on.
Oh, don't you bother about it at all, George. Don't you bother at all. I'd rather we left things just as they are.
Well, sure, Snick. That's the way you really feel about it.
Yeah.
Say, I got an idea. You still got that gun around?
Yeah, I believe I have someplace.
Well, supposing you let me take that down to Washington with me, so we'll have something on hand to sort of remember the occasion by. We could maybe hang it up someplace so folks could see it, huh?
Sure, George. That sounds like a pretty smart notion. Let's see, where'd I put that? Somewhere here. Oh, here it is.
Let's see.
Under this pile of swords here.
Oh, geez. Say, that's a wizard-roo of a weapon for sure. You know what? I'm going to hang that up right over the White House fireplace, dinged if I ain't.
Sort of funny to be parting with it, George, but here she is. Take her.
Well, thanks a heap, Snick. Say, I tell you, that's right generous of you. Wait a minute. I'll just slide it through the top of my saddlebag here. Stand still. Whoa. There you are. Well, Snick, I'm going to say goodbye. I got to be blowing along.
Oh. Well, that's too bad.
Whoa.
Too bad you can't stay on for a spell.
Well, I wished I could, Snick, but I tell you, I got to be back at the Capitol in a week on account I got a date to fly a kite with Benjamin Franklin. I got to stop off here and there along the way, dedicate a whole flock of cherry archers.
Yeah. Well, you know best, George.
Well, thanks for the gun, Snick. So long.
Remember me to Marty.
Yeah, if you're ever in Washington, look me up. I'm in the book.
That's how it was my ancestor gave this gun to George Washington and how it come to get hung up over the mantelpiece down there at the White House.
So he gave that old gun to George Washington, did he? Talked to him and everything.
Yeah, he sure did. Even went to visit him a couple of years later just to see how the gun looked hanging over the fireplace down there.
Did he see it?
He saw it all right. Only trouble was the general was so busy he plumb forgot to tell folks what a famous gun it was and why it was hanging there. So nobody ever knew about it but my ancestor and him.
Gee, that was too bad. Didn't your ancestor say anything?
No, not him. Oh, no. He wasn't kidding about not liking the limelight. Mm. No, he never said a word. But he did kind of wish, since nobody knew nothing about it, that he had his old gun back, because it was the only one he was used to handling, you know. Well, you realize how you get used to things that way,
sure,
don't you?
Sure, just like a first baseman's mitt I had once.
Yeah, well, that's how my ancestor was used to his gun. In fact, he was so used to it, and it was so used to him, folks used to say he could go out in the woods, prop this gun up in the air so as it pointed up the sky, go to sleep, and he'd be woke up by it going off, bringing down half a flock of wild turkeys.
Holy jinkies!
Yep. That's what he used to do, too. I wonder where the ducks is today. I ain't seen a one yet.
Your ancestor never did get his gun back, huh?
No, never could figure out a way of doing it graceful, so he just went on wishing that he had it.
Mm.
Finally, just pined himself away, died at the age of 84.
Pretty old.
Pretty young for a Snickleby.
How'd you ever get it back? Get it restored to the family?
Huh? Oh, yeah. Why, that happened some years ago, too. When I was just a young fella acting as a special aide de camp to Colonel Teddy Roosevelt during the Spanish-American War.
Uh-huh.
It had just turned July, if I remember correct, in the year 1898. And us Rough Riders was encamped just a few miles east of San Juan Hill.
Well, let's see. If we head south over this way, then according to this here map, we can... No, we can't do that. Maybe if we cut over here, right there, about 4 or 5 miles, we can... Nope, we can't do that either.
Hey, Colonel Roosevelt, you in your tent?
Yeah.
Can I come in?
Yeah, come on in. Oh, Captain Snickleby.
Yeah. Sit down hard. I feel beat out right down to my socks.
Well, here, sit down on that box, Captain. Take a load off your mind.
Oh, well, thanks. I don't mind if I do.
Let's see. If we could spread out this way. There. You know, single line running north like that and south. Oh, blood and thunder, that won't work either. Thunderation.
What's the matter, Colonel? Having a bit of trouble?
Trouble ain't the word, Snickleby. I'm having a bang of a time trying to dope this here business out.
Well, from the way you've been punishing that map with your pen, I thought you was playing tic-tac-toe.
No such thing, Snickleby. I got a problem. A tremendous problem.
Well, let us in on it.
Well, now, you see this place here where that blot of ink is?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's us. Now, you see this other place over here where somebody left a cigar burning?
Yeah.
Well, that's San Diego. That's our final objective.
What's this place in between where somebody's been drawing pictures here?
Well, now, that's the whole trouble. That's San Juan Hill.
Why, sure, doggone it. Yeah, there she is. Good old San Juan Hill. What's the trouble with her, Colonel?
Trouble? I can't figure out a way to get around her. Move on to capture San Diego. I've been trying and trying. I'm blamed if I can do it.
Go around her?
Yeah.
Go around San Juan Hill?
Sure.
You mean to tell me you ain't going to charge up her?
Well, not if I can help it, I ain't.
Well, you just got to. You just got to charge up San Juan Hill. Listen here now. You want to spoil this whole war?
I'll tell you another thing. In case you don't know it, Snickleby, there's a blockhouse setting up on top of that hill, and that blockhouse is just full of fellas waiting for somebody to come along and charge up her.
Even so. Ain't no other course open to you except to charge up that there hill, win the war, and be president of the USA.
What? Well, maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. All right, then. We'll charge up her. We'll charge right for snickety upper with the bugles a-blowing and the flags a-flying and the guns a-tooting and... Oh, sure, only one thing, though.
What's that?
Well, we got to figure somehow a way of finding out how strong that blockhouse is garrisoned.
That ain't nothing. I'll take care of that little detail myself.
You can't send a man up that hill in broad daylight.
I know I can't send a man. That's why I'm going myself.
Oh, Tremont, you don't mean that you're...
That's exactly what I mean. All you have to do is to have somebody get me a Spanish uniform from one of the prisoners, fetch it to my tent just as soon as he can.
Company, halt!
Company, halt! Company, halt!
All right, Snickleby. Here it is. Here's the foot of the hill. I guess this is as far as we goes with you.
Yes, you say, Colonel.
Fair enough. No sense romping around in the open so as they get wind of anything. How do I look in this here Spanish uniform?
Well, Perfect. I didn't know you were Snickleby. I'd shoot you on sight. But for the last time, I do wish you'd tell me how you're able to get up there.
You'll see, Colonel. You'll see. Adios, amigos. Hasta luego. Hasta la vista. Hasta mañana. And just plain old everyday hasta.
Well, so long, Snickleby. Lots of luck.
Brave man, that Snickleby. I was just thinking the same thing myself.
Lieutenant Stanley, Captain Snickleby is a man of infinite courage and tremendous brain power.
Tremendous.
Well, keep your operating glasses pointed on that first clearing on the hill. Let me know what he's doing.
You bet your boots.
Where's Corny Harrison? Where's Corny Harrison, the bugler?
Here I am, Colonel, sitting and waiting.
All right, you all practiced up on your charge call?
I sure am, Colonel. You want to hear it?
No, not now. Keep it till Captain Snickleby gets back.
Well, I can play Annie Laurie while we're waiting. I can play it real good.
No, thanks just the same, Party. Well, I just don't want you to get all wore out.
I see him now. He's coming out in the open.
Great.
Yep, that guy goes creeping up very slowly. He's creeping up backward.
What?
Do you know? That's a clever thing to do. Clever thing.
Oh, it's backwards. Sure. Backwards? Why is he creeping up backwards?
Now, take a look through these glasses, Colonel.
Give them here.
Watch, as plain as a nose on your face. He's creeping up backwards with his gun pointed at us. So as them blockheads up there in the blockhouse will just naturally think he's one of their men coming down.
Good for you, Snick.
Hi, fellas.
Hi, Snick.
At ease, Colonel. Don't stand up.
Yeah, all right.
Colonel, everything's going to be all right. There's a heap of men up there, but if we act fast, we can count on taking them by surprise.
Delighted, Captain Snick. I'll be delighted. If my charge up this here San Juan Hill wins the Spanish-American War and I become the President of the United States of America like you said I would, I'm going to see to it, Snickleby, that you're justly rewarded. Colonel Harrison. Get set to toot your bugle.
What'll it be, Colonel? Annie Laurie?
No, Corny. Thanks to Captain Snickleby, you can play charge. Charge, Corny!
Teddy Roosevelt won the day, a whole big hunk of the war, and finally he did become president.
Yeah, but if it hadn't been for you, maybe he wouldn't have.
Oh, sure.
Gee, it ain't hardly fair that you Snicklebys never get credit for none of this stuff in the history books.
Well, Luke, my boy, it's all due to our inherent modesty and retiring dispositions. I did see to it, though, that I got this gun back to the Snicklebys, because I figured I could use it in my business, which I did.
And that's the same gun that killed them bears and flocks of wild turkeys and everything.
Yeah, this very same gun. And in the hands of a Snickleby, she's surefire death to whatever she's aimed at. I recollect one time I was paddling up the Orinoco in search of Clinton Thebers, missing biologist, you know. I was making my way up this river.
Listen, Major, you hear that? The ducks is coming, you hear them? They're heading this way.
Yeah, I believe you're right.
Oh, sure.
All right, I'm ready for them. Let them come.
I can see them now. If they don't change their course, they're going to pass right over our heads. They're swooping down like a bunch of airplanes.
All right. Don't be jiggling the boat now, Lou. I'm going to stand up in there so I can perfect my aim.
The way they're coming, we're almost going to be able to touch them. The big flock. It's like a cloud.
Hey, Lou, help me. Here, give me a hand, will you, Lou? Help me back in the boat.
Yeah, Major. Hand me the gun. Now, come on up over the side.
Careful. Condition. That water's plenty cold.
You missed. You didn't hit a single one. At 15 feet.
Too bad they flew slow. Had to throw my aim off. I couldn't fire on anything flying so close. Most unsportsmanlike thing in the world. Wonder what time's getting to be.
Yeah, I pinted one barrel toward the old man and toward the old lady, and I fired at them both to once.
Lute. Well, undo that line, will you, Lute? I guess we might as well be heading back home.
Yeah. Oh, MacDonald.
Get a farm.
E-I-E-I-O. On that farm, we had some ducks.
Today's Columbia Workshop production was William Iverson's original comedy for radio, Opus for Lute and a Lyre. Parker Fanley was the major, and Kingsley Colton was young Lute. Others in today's cast were Arthur Allen, Roy Fant, and Orth Bell. Alexander Samler conducted his own score for the production. Nyla Mack directed. Next Sunday's Columbia Workshop will bring you the plot of Mr. Greenberg by Lon Shaw. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.